All right, I'm calling today's meeting to order. This is the Bay Village Historic Commission. Today is September 5th, 2018. Commissioners present are Knopf, Dunwell, O'Tallying, McDermott. Also present is Joseph Cornish, Director of Design Review, the Landmarks Commission, City of Boston. And today's first and only order of business is to talk over the proposed regulatory standards and where we're at on that. Right? So Steve asked me for an update, and I just wanted to let people know that in August, well, first, Ann and I met with Bethany Patton, who was here, the head of Bay Village Historic, Bay Village Neighborhood Association. She works for MIT in some sort of sustainability function. You might have to correct me exactly on what that is.
That's right.
She heads up a team there. She had a chance to look at the proposed changes and was very positive about it. Her suggested comments came all in the area of resiliency, because that's her thing. The next thing that happened was Ann and I came here with Bethany on the phone to look at the resiliency guidelines that you are seeing in this document. And we had a talk about that. And we talked about what is going to be the strategy going forward. And it was agreed that Joe would come to the September 10th Executive Committee meeting. And where he would present these, Bethany would give the context and support for her, support for the proposals. And the idea was that people would have an opportunity to look at the proposed guidelines, and that Joe would return to the regularly scheduled October meeting. Joe, what have I missed here in terms of the broad outline of where we're at?
That's it, that's it. I think, you know, I was hoping to get final comments from people, if you've had a chance to review it, what I have emailed to you. And then I will be sharing this draft or revised draft with the Boston Landmarks Commission at its September 25th public hearing for, so you can get your input at that time.
So we have there's a hearing scheduled for the 25th, September 25th?
For the Boston Landmarks Commission.
For your entire commission?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, and you're welcome to come to that. But that was part of the, beginning the process of the peer review that Richard had suggested. So I think it would be a good opportunity to, you know, do a similar presentation that I'm doing to the Neighborhood Association.
I see.
And leave drafts with them for comments.
This is the hearing every 2 weeks the Boston Landmarks Commission meets. So this is the regular hearing, which, Joe, you do a presentation.
Part of your business hearing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and you attend those, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I think Richard does as well.
Yes.
Richard also, Richard there.
Richard does as well, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's the standard meeting.
Yes.
The 25th. The 10th is a BVNA meeting.
Correct.
That you will come and make a presentation at?
He is scheduled with Bethany to appear.
And so are you going to present what we've accomplished up to that point, sort of thing?
Yes, yes. So presenting whatever we have.
Question.
And then leaving drafts, and then taking emails, so I can email people drafts as well to share.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back on October 1st to kind of collect comments that people.
Okay, so there's another one, October 1, there's another BVNA.
Yes.
That's right.
It's always the first.
Yeah, I guess the 10th is late in the month because of the holiday.
Labor Day.
Yes.
Right, yeah, okay, duh. And I probably saw that in my email, but I wasn't tracking all of this.
I think the biggest changes in the proposed regs have come since the work of the MIT student.
Correct, yes.
Who over the summer has inserted the resiliency guidelines in there. And so that's in the context of this big document too, which is for all.
Tom, this is a report that our intern worked on just general guidelines for historic buildings, and she's included sections for each of the districts.
So is your intern a designer?
No.
This shows a lot of design skills.
Yeah, no, she did a great job. Yeah, she made a lot of the diagrams herself.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, and resiliency speaks to the question of climate change, sea level rise, temperature rise.
You know, all that.
We had a separate special meeting around that subject some months ago.
Yes.
I remember
yes.
it was yep. like a 6 or 7 p.m. thing, and people were kind of saying, what can we do, what can we do,
yep.
and
yes.
you know, all that. Put the mechanicals on the roof, and you know, that kind of thing. So the boldface takes text from here,
yes.
or concepts from here, and moves them over to here.
Yes, and they're more pertinent to Bay Village.
But some of the bold is not just resiliency.
That's right.
There are other things.
Yes, most of it is. Yes, yeah, but most of it is what she added.
Yeah.
Okay, and then just to help me one more time regarding what I have in my hand here, draft August 27th, does this include all of the prior work to date?
Yes.
So this is like a complete document in draft form?
Yes.
Wow. Yep.
It just doesn't have, you know, we'll add the photos. And
right, and dress it up.
Yes.
But because each time we come, we talk about one chunk.
Yes.
And we've been moving our way through the list, and we're near the end of the list, I believe, right?
Yes. Yep.
So all of the prior chunks that have been discussed have been incorporated here.
Yes. Yes.
What a job. My goodness.
So when people come to the meeting, they'll be looking at what seemed to be the latest, you know, the latest proposed standards would be.
Yes, all good.
Yeah. One thing I haven't changed, and I think you had mentioned this, Tom, was the order of architectural elements and maybe starting with landscape plan first. So I gave that some thought, and I just looked at other guidelines for other commissions across the state. And they seem to follow this same pattern, but we can, you know, that could be something we can get feedback from other people too.
This is an architect speaking.
Yeah, right. Yes.
You look at a property, kind of macro to micro. You sort of move in this way.
Yes.
How will this document now factor into the other neighborhood commissions? This
will help guide the other neighborhood commissions. So
I think our original goal was to try to get, if not one document,
similar,
yes,
consistent
for
document
consistency.
For all commissions, and each neighborhood has a page or two that's special about their neighborhood, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So how does this get communicated to the other commissions?
Well, it's going to be a different process for each one. So the next one that will follow will be Bay State Road wants to work on it. Next. Each one will have its own guidelines.
But
so it won't be one document for all, but it's going to follow this
give
format.
Give this to Bay State and say, here's what Bay Village is doing?
Yes. And then this will be the format that we'll follow for all of them.
Okay. And is there a table of contents that goes with
yes.
this?
Yes. Yeah, there will be a table. You know,
as there was before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. That's...
And Steve has volunteered photographs too, so thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, thanks.
It's a lot easier to do that than it was to write. organizing it with a table of contents or something, and also kind of having heads and subheads.
Yes.
So,
let me show you. Belmont one was
I'm wondering if that's possible to do for the meeting, or if this is.
Oh, yeah, it should be.
I think it should.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah, and I think it would be helpful to people.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a faster study.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have that.
So I'll ask them when it comes.
Yeah.
To
so you know that. Oh, okay. If you know all of these points are about roofs, gutters, downspouts, cornices, mechanicals, penthouses, all roofy. And another thing would be.
Joe, is it possible to do a table of contents before the meeting?
Oh, sure. I think so.
I think it would be easier for people to grab.
Yes.
And then the other question I have is, do people need to see the old regs?
Good idea. Just to compare,
like, oh, my God, there's nothing in these?
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
And then we'll also include the application and the instructions for the application, too.
That's always good. Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Um, Is your idea that this is a sort of a prototype?
Yeah, something. I mean, that's what I had
kind of like
mind.
This,
yes,
right?
Yep.
Although this, yeah. Right, so this also has, there's the regs, but they also have some resources.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of cool pictures. So this Richard Cheek is a colleague
yes,
of mine.
Yep. Yeah, he did a lot of those.
Yeah. Right, well, in this history, this shows some antique images as well,
mm-hmm.
you know. Would that be of interest to you?
Oh, sure, yeah. I think, you know, anything that'll make it, connect it more to the history of the district and to the district itself. All the photos in here were specific to the Belmont
well, of course.
Historic
yeah, of course.
District.
Yeah,
so
what I mean is, in Bay Village, we have some interesting photographs.
Yes, we have the great ones of them.
The raising?
Yes.
That one is the most amazing thing. You know. And then, of course, the fire at the Grove.
Exactly.
You know, and then some other street scenes. And I have a few of those in my kind of archive. When I find a good one, I try to, mm-hmm. you know, hang on to it.
Yeah.
So I can put a little bit of that into that folder
as well. That would be great,
well.
Phil.
Sounds good.
I mean, we could... first thing you know, it's going to be like 60 pages. It's
yeah.
going to be hardbound.
Well, it's going
to
be
yeah,
well,
sent to the publisher.
Embossed, right? How about that?
Excellent.
It's going to be, you know, at this point, it should be more of an online resource, you know, which we can keep updating or revising.
Yeah, I think that's
you know, it'd be a PDF.
In line with client.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Wherever
right.
that is.
Right. So the goal is to have it in a PDF format.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then do you or someone in your office prepare that?
We have the whole Do It team over there that helps us with
right.
any kind of publishing.
The IT people.
Yes. Yep.
Right. Because the best way to do that is using something like InDesign.
Right. And they'll
you know,
want to use...
For your page design. Whenever you need to combine...
Yeah, I mean, the same thing, you know, they helped produce this.
Yeah.
So it'll follow all the city's formatting.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is fun, too, because this calls out each district.
Yes.
And gives you a little boundary map,
mm-hmm.
yeah, which is also kind of fun.
Joe, just an organization question.
Yes.
I get it about landscape where it is and other ones, but we go through windows and doors and shutters, we go to landscape, and then we come back to new construction, additions, heights. To me, that's all kind of building
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Sure, so we can, yeah, we can
I
certainly
wonder
move
if
that.
Landscape would be after
at the end.
All the rest, yeah.
Yep.
Sort of like an embellishment at the end.
And also the
yeah,
page.
It's a different, it's kind of a different conversation,
yes.
Yeah.
I think.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
And then the climate resiliency, it's interspersed in this document, but then at the very end, on this
yeah, there's a statement
last
of purpose.
Page, there's
like,
a statement about climate
yeah.
resiliency.
Mm-hmm.
Is that at the end purposely?
No. I mean, it was. I think it just ended up. That was the last thing that I had worked on. So that's why it ended up there.
So where do you think it should go?
Well, I mean,
maybe before
this to me is introductory.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about what resiliency is. It's fundamental preservation.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes.
Points, what
so move it.
Is.
Move it towards the beginning.
And maybe
yeah.
that belongs in the
well.
Beginning under a sort of prelude or a
mm-hmm.
preface
sounds,
or something.
That sounds
well,
logical.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Now, I think it would be clearer if there was a little bit of sort of preface content at the front where prefaces are, that really just in two sentences says resiliency is about this and this is why it's important. Okay, in the same way that it would also say, I still am missing this the big mission statement of preserving the historic fabric or moderating changes to that and making them consistent and
mm-hmm.
you know. I kind of thought we were going to put that right at the front as well.
It's a good point. Maybe we didn't talk about it. Should we be referencing anywhere the Secretary of the Interior standards? Or is that something which this
that's
group
different.
Would rather
See,
not do?
That's different than the guidelines. I think
yes.
once we include that language in here, I think we can include it as a resource.
More as that or
yep.
more as... As a preface, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's the Secretary of the Interior Standards. It says guidelines. They're not laws. They're not codes. They specifically say guidelines for
mm-hmm.
preservation. And certainly, when push comes to shove, when you can't get consensus, they're a great thing to come back to point to.
Yes.
I'm not saying this document needs to have them in them, in it. I think that just some reference to this group upholds the tenets of the Secretary of Interior standards.
A sentence or two, yeah.
I think so.
Just,
I think so.
Just to show that
and,
there is, it
and
relates
like
to something.
Resiliency, something, a sentence or two about that.
So a sentence about what Steve is saying about the point of it all.
The vision, sort of,
vision.
You know, the vision statement.
All right,
vision,
then,
mission,
two sentences.
Then what Tom is talking about referencing
Secretary of Interior.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
then a statement about resiliency, but that doesn't still explain where to put this big chunk about resiliency.
That would
I think at the end is okay. My read on this is that the resilience component is too big. And that having it be interleaved with each thing.
Yeah, maybe it isn't necessary.
Is, well, I feel like it could be smaller, and then you put a chunk at the very end.
Could you put a reference point in the content and refer it to this at the end?
As in an appendix?
An appendix. I think that, or whatever, one would be the appropriate word for it.
I'm just going
to
argue
just
for a minute
people know that it's
for the other side.
Because this is something in
yeah,
progress.
Yeah.
I'm just going to argue for a minute for the other side, which is, by incorporating it into the guidelines, it lets people know that it's a big issue. Don't people have to know that?
Right. Well, I was thinking keeping it in the guidelines, but maybe we don't need the last piece as a standalone, that maybe it's enough to have it.
It's a term that's misunderstood.
Yeah.
And somewhere there needs to be the one or two lines that say what is resiliency.
Okay.
And probably that needs to happen in the beginning.
In the front.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I wonder, is there anything that we need to say about Bay Village and, I don't know, the special place that it is about, is there anything that,
so
really,
that's, did you, how?
Did I miss that?
In the front, the very front, this whole narrative here.
Yeah,
I think the third paragraph gives.
I guess
it.
I'm.
What are you thinking of?
I'm talking more about why, how these apply to Bay Village. I'm not stating that correctly. Maybe this is enough.
Okay.
Referring to the resiliency part?
No.
The fourth paragraph, maybe, adding something in.
Is there anything that we want to stress as a group that these standards apply that are specific to Bay Village? Is there anything we need to say that's more
directed? Oh, I see.
Directed?
These are the, in other words, these are not generic standards. These are very specific standards to this neighborhood. Is that what you mean?
Sort of.
Whoa.
Or case by case.
I feel like that is, we don't need to say that.
But people don't know that, Steve, that there aren't other new regs afoot, right, for other neighborhoods.
Somebody already.
Okay. Well, there's no harm in putting that item out, but it seems to me that you're going to pick this document up and it's going to say Bay Village Historic Standards right on the cover.
True.
And the fact that there are other neighborhoods with other slightly different. You know, standards is not really part of the discussion.
So, Tom, can you try again to verbalize what is your concern for
us?
Yeah,
I think maybe it's said here.
Well, another angle on this is that, you know, Bay Village, like the Back Bay and like probably many of the districts, but maybe not all, has a lot of filled land in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to raise half the village once because it was too low, and when the water rises, we're going to have to think about that again if there's no larger mitigation of water sea level rise affecting the water levels inside the city. We've all seen these maps, and basically it's like saying, well, you reset the clock to 1820, and that's kind of what you should be looking at, you know. anything that was filled might get wet again, right?
Happened once, it can happen again.
I think my concern actually is handled by the fourth paragraph.
Yeah. Okay, good.
It's very good.
Good.
And then after that fourth paragraph, I'll add a paragraph about resiliency.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, really just stating what we mean by that and why it's important,
mm-hmm.
but in a very simple manner, because you're going to be going back into it again. It's sort of introducing, you say, a term that is frequently misunderstood.
Yeah, and it's conflated with sustainability, and it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
And we're not, again, does the word sustainable come up in here anymore?
Yeah, I'm sure it does, yes. In the...
I mean, sustainability talks about being kind to our environment, right?
Yes.
And about using locally sourced materials and
energy efficiency.
Low flow plumbing and energy efficiency and all this sort of thing. And I think that I know that the city of Boston embraces that. Maybe there is something, maybe there is a two-liner about that as well.
Yeah.
Sustainability, resiliency, I think something about preservation and standards that we follow,
mm-hmm.
the government standards. And not much has to be said, just to kind of get it out there.
Okay. And we can even reference this report here.
Sure.
So what is the status of the words in this document? They are recommendations.
Yes.
They are general wishes.
Recommendations. They're not standards.
They're not standards.
Design
yeah.
guide.
So then inserting these by reference into our bylaws, does that make them then have more force than they have?
Yes.
So what about that as a legal fact?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's why we're adding it in here.
Okay, see, this is important.
Yes, it's too legal.
No, I'm just wanting to make sure that I understand
it's
now what this means now. This, because I think it'll have, won't they have more force in here than they do in here?
Yes,
so that's
absolutely.
Something really important for us to know, right?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. And it'll help guide our decision making. I think that we're acknowledging these issues exist, so
mm-hmm.
we're including solutions. And we're reviewing projects with that in mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's important. I think for us to acknowledge that we're putting in place something that has even more teeth than this design guide.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, this is really just more of a resource.
It acknowledges that the work has been done.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but at the moment, I think there's really no enforcement around this subject area.
No.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying.
Yeah, teeth.
Teeth.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, our organization, this historic committee, does have, you know, some enforcement
mm-hmm.
connected with it. If someone defies the guidelines and builds something that's not allowed, well, they could be made to take it down, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
or someone wants something, they can
yeah.
be prevented. So those are the teeth of which this is more like for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
That's like what guidelines do.
Yes.
Right.
Here's some proposed language, which I mean has some teeth. The commission requires that all new additions and new construction consider the predicted flood risks of the property. So that means, I mean, hypothetically, right? People come in here and we say, have you considered da-da-da-da-da? And they say, no, we haven't. We say, you need to.
Exactly.
I mean, I think that's what I'm just trying to get at, that
mm-hmm.
we're now in that business.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Kathleen, just to follow up on that, if someone comes and asks that question and gets that answer, then what action comes after that? If we say to them, well, you should be thinking about, you know, the flood risk and where you are, or something like that, what are they supposed to do?
It should be coming from the staff level when we're doing our initial review of the application.
Uh-huh.
So I think we'll be reviewing at a staff level these applications that come in,
yeah.
ask that question. And then they should go back to the drawing board and include something, or they'll come to the commission and have to explain why they're not going to
right, like
include.
It
could be the mechanical systems.
Yeah, I was going to say, like a classic example would be, say, well, we're going to put all of our electrics in the basement.
And
then you could say, well, we're trying to encourage people to not do that anymore for this reason, you know. And so do they then literally go back to the drawing board and move the mechanicals and do the things that are related to
Or they would have to explain why it's not and why it's not feasible. Right. But then, you know, we will be stuck in a situation too where, you know, hopefully we're going to be limited to what's visible from a public way.
Yeah.
So we have to keep that in mind.
In other words, we can't tell them to put their electrics on.
Exactly.
No, we can't enforce it. We can't enforce it, but it's going to come up as a discussion.
Right. Or it could be part of a negotiation when we're reviewing a large project, and maybe we're going to approve something we wouldn't normally approve, but they're going to be accommodating some of these.
Some mitigation or something like that. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
I think it's worth us understanding how this is going to change some of the stuff we do, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question along that line. On page one, the first thing, scope of all exterior from a public way. So that is actually a change from the previous.
Yes, correct? and that's going to be...
The previous said it would be only the front.
The front and the sides.
And the side, not the back.
And more from a freestanding building.
Exactly. So the back, if the back was visible across a parking lot, it would not have been within our purview in the past.
Correct.
So does this require, like, a motion of the city council or something?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they're
right,
two
that
different.
Particular thing, right?
Yes, they're two different. That's the one thing that will require a city council vote.
Right. So that'll be handled on a different track.
Exactly.
Somehow. Your office will prepare something. It'll go to them. Mm-hmm. There'll be some discussion, all of that. So, okay, good. Because it really changes the purview.
Yes.
What can we do?
And it'll probably give us more work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, every time I go by, go out on Arlington Street, and I look, you know, the parking lot that is behind the church and behind Smith and Malensky, and I see the head house on one and the mechanical on the other, which were on the back and which we couldn't say anything about. Yeah. I said, we really missed something on that one.
Yeah. Yep.
Because they're kind of bigger than I imagined they would be, and quite prominent.
Yes. Yep.
And this would change that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So Steve does bring up sort of a whole progression question. So, are you waiting first, Joe, to get feedback and support from the neighborhood association, and then the legal department takes it to?
Right. I think what I'll start doing. To get on the legal department schedule is at least to start that process. It won't move forward unless we have the buy-in, of course, from the neighborhood association. But I think once we have that, then that can move forward. And then the guidelines themselves, that is approved by this commission. So, you know, it'll just be an internal review here. We don't have to go to a city council for that.
Okay. You mean once?
It'll be a public, so we'll have a public hearing, and then the commission will vote to adopt these regulatory standards.
Right, but they don't have force until it gets approved by city council, is that right?
No, just the scope. The scope of protection is city council.
That's the one thing that they have to,
Yes, yep.
And everything else can be done
by this commission.
Oh.
Right, with a request for public comment.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I did not
understand that. So it'll be we're done with this, then you have it available to the public online, like that. There's a comment period, and then it comes back.
Right, and that's where we're doing this outreach now, to hopefully have a document
which is also why it's really important to involve the Bay Village Neighborhood Association, which up to this point really doesn't really know much about this process. Mm-hmm. They're starting I kind of heard about it, but you know.
Bethany's trying to sow the seeds.
Yeah, I understand. I think it's important to keep that process moving forward so that they feel included.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. And that this is going to make it easier for people living in the district to understand what's protected and what's not protected.
Yeah.
So it's
going
to streamline that process for people.
I'm with you.
Joe, with the assumption that there are always detractors to change and pushback by some, do you anticipate anything about this that may be incendiary to people?
With the Neighborhood Association?
No.
You would probably have a better sense of that than I would. I mean, these standards are pretty consistent with other standards with other commissions throughout the state.
Oh my God.
Hello.
Richard.
Hello. Did you get my tea?
Yes, sorry.
Stuck on the tea.
Disabled at Copley.
Oh,
40 minutes.
Oh no.
You can walk faster.
Good thing I was dropped off here.
Were you stuck in the vehicle?
Yeah, stuck in the vehicle.
Oh dear.
So much fun.
So to sort of address the question that Tom raised, I could be wrong, and you know, Ruth and Steve, please.
I must say, you look very fresh and pulled together.
I know,
together
it doesn't look all
hot.
Stuff.
It's hot in here. Yeah. Wait, do you sit down?
How do you do it?
I like your compliment.
No, it's true.
Help yourself to some water.
Oh, yes.
Superman jumped into a telephone.
Okay. Yeah, right, yeah.
Clean shirt,
I know,
fresh tie.
Not a hair out of place. So the one thing I would say is actually perhaps not even at first glance would be something that you might think would come up, but
is there one of these?
There is an issue that people get very exercised about in the neighborhood, and I refer these emails to Joe, and it's about window replacement. And sometimes wood windows are required, sometimes the other ones are allowed. And as Joe has explained, depending on what's been there before, sort of dictates how the commission treats a particular set of windows. People in the neighborhood get very upset about windows. And that's, I predict, that you're gonna get a lot of stuff about windows, which may not even, at first glance, even be like relevant to this whole issue. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a flashpoint, no pun intended, you know.
Yeah, and I think what was happening was, you know, the previous staff that was here was reviewing applications based on a different set of guidelines.
Right.
And I think there's just a perception that you couldn't go beyond what he was requiring people to do. Where in fact the guidelines don't say that.
Right.
So following up on Kathleen's point, in the paragraph about window sash, which is kind of what you cover this, would you explain to me, maybe to us, what's up with the must repair, or is it wood, or is it a material that is a synthetic material that from a distance looks like,
right,
kind of like rather the same thing that came up with me,
so I went
to that composite.
This is going back, and this is what we want to be consistent with the other commissions, is that if you have an original wood window,
mm-hmm,
we want to see that preserved and repaired if possible. And
right,
if you can't do that,
mm-hmm,
we're going to want documentation, at least, you know, saying that you've had a carpenter come out and look at it,
yeah,
to see if it was repaired. Now, if all of your windows had been replaced in the 1970s, we're not going to be that forceful in having them repaired. We're going
here
to want to see them
the
replaced.
Issue. And here's the issue. You could have one house here and next door, the house next door, and it could be really different. And that's what people get exercised about.
Yeah. With good reason. Because,
of course.
You know, everyone wants to feel that the law is applied evenly.
Correct. Level playing field is the term that's used often.
Level
correct
is good.
Level playing field.
Equitable,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Equitable. Mainly that there's no favoritism, or that someone didn't get a lucky break.
Discrepancies,
you know.
Right.
Yes.
So, if the windows are somewhat recent, like after 1975, for example,
mm-hmm,
then having them made of composite is more likely to be,
yes,
okay.
Yes. Yes.
So this business about repairing is really like an antique window.
Exactly, for an original wood window or an early wood window.
Okay, when you, because it says very clearly must be repaired.
Mm-hmm. But there will be situations where it's deteriorated beyond repair.
Right, just plain rotten.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Okay.
What we see a lot, most of the applications that come in are replacement of replacement windows.
Mm-hmm.
So you have replacement windows that have failed because they're just not as durable,
yeah,
as the historic windows.
Well, I have wood windows in my building. They're from 1916. They're probably the original wood windows. They're mahogany or something like that. They're really nice windows. But when it comes time to replace them, it's going to be, you know, a big challenge, let's say,
mm-hmm,
you know, in terms of the the logistics, but also the possible cost.
Mm-hmm. So what this, you know, hopefully this will encourage people to maintain those windows. So you're going to be painting.
I should be painting.
Glazing them, you know, glazing putty.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that goes, and then storm windows, you know, storm windows go a long way to protecting original wood windows.
Well, which, you know, and mine all have storms on them, you know, aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of brown aluminum matches.
This comes up, this is really more important in the south end where there's a lot of curved historic window sash.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of applications where people have those and they want to replace them with flat.
Oh, I see.
Oh, no.
Exactly. And, you know, we'll go out or, you know, we'll take a close look and they're either in good shape or they can be repaired. And to replicate that would be so expensive.
What's one of the more stringent districts? Would you say Beacon Hill?
Back Bay is the
back
most.
Bay.
Yep, back
and
Bay.
That's pure wood, right? No substitution.
Yes. The only the break you get in Back Bay is a lot of the windows are 1:1 because they're later 19th century.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so you have more 1:1 windows being used rather than the 6:6. So
mm-hmm.
You know, some cases you do have Queen Anne that have more decorative window panes.
Mm-hmm.
South End is mostly just the 2:2 windows,
mm-hmm.
but you do have a lot of the curved.
Curves, yeah.
And in the South End, you do have a large portion of those were replaced in the 70s before the district was created.
Right, with flat.
So you have flat or with aluminum window, aluminum clad windows.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've seen quite a bit of that, you know, just kind of looking around the south.
Right, and those, the seals break and they fog up. And
so to Tom's question, windows, I think,
will be a
hot button. Does anybody from the neighborhood, can you think of any other issue that the regs raise or that when people see Joe, their eyes will start rolling around?
Paint color might be something. You know, I think there's
paint
probably,
color.
I think people will be surprised to know we don't regulate paint color. Except on masonry.
By saying no to paint on masonry, right?
Right.
Is it worth you almost when you're going, right? This is
he's going Monday.
Yes, yeah, so right. Monday and then the beginning of October.
To like diffuse the crowd with 5 most frequently confused myths.
Yes, yes, that's a good idea.
Just
yes.
The crowd
yeah.
mm-hmm. tee it up for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Nice.
And also like it's just like
urban legends that don't apply.
FAQ.
The other thing that, and this is going to sound really kind of crazy, but the executive committee and those meetings are attended by the same group of people generally. So there are a lot of people in the neighborhood who are totally unaware of any of this.
Sure.
So they're going to be our sounding board. You know, they suddenly realize that when they want to do something, there's a problem for them
mm-hmm.
in getting information out to the commission. So I can't think that we're going to have a lot of difficulty, especially with Bethany
mm-hmm.
paving the way. Either that or I'm incredibly naive.
Well, and that, you know, we're presenting something that we're asking them for input. I mean, in no way is this, this is what we're doing,
exactly.
and we're going
it's
to vote
like,
on this next month.
Right.
And,
exactly.
Yeah.
But I do think Richard has an excellent point about
mm-hmm.
some disarming.
Yes.
It might soften
yeah.
it up.
I think
I do.
Yeah.
For
example,
yes,
speaking
yeah.
of misconceptions.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Yep. That's scope of protection, paint color, window, and then
yeah,
we can certainly
that.
Think of two others.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to point out one other area where there might be some like a hot button
mm-hmm.
zone, which is new structures on historic
yes.
lots.
Yes, of course.
Such
and that's,
as 212
that is,
Stewart.
Yes.
That in the history of the recent history of Bay Village, that
would
building was the most contentious one.
Absolutely.
They had the most people on drawing sides, taking sides, and throwing, you know, slings and arrows at the others and calling names and all kinds of stuff. It was really quite contentious, and a lot of it was around the general subject of in what way is it allowed to put a new building inside a historic district.
Mm-hmm.
And
you could spend an entire evening on that alone.
Yes.
And totally ruin all
yep.
the goodwill.
Well, someone asked for what those you did. What these issues might be,
mm-hmm.
and that's another one. Windows.
Exactly.
I guarantee you that's hot, and the whole thing of new construction or something
right.
that is substantially at variance, such as the thing that we saw last week at the Carlucci Restaurant.
Yep, the rooftop.
Where, you know, the first 18 feet are all about historic preservation, and the next 30 feet or 25 feet are all about variance, you know.
Exactly.
And
I think anything that would cause an owner to have to spend more money than he or she spent before by mm-hmm. a specific change, I think those are the things that will be noticed. I don't know if there's anything in here that says that specifically. Certainly, buying an historic window is more expensive than buying a stock window.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What about, sorry, I'm jumping around, and I do apologize for my tardiness, but I'm looking through the Belmont, which, by the way, I know we've looked at this before, but it really is smashing. As a document goes, it's just awesome. Whether or not, if they have an application denied, or if they're going to have questions about the process itself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have just a little primer just to help them.
Yeah, I was going to include the application and instructions as an appendix. So
okay.
We'll have that. We'll the whole process.
I suspect you might get those type of questions mm-hmm. and all that. Just to try to defuse a little of the red tape and not make it seem quite as daunting.
Yep. So I'm going to include a table of contents for Monday.
Okay.
So they'll have that.
If you're ready,
so
that,
yes,
I think that's another one. And also, this is where it tees up, additional resources, like things
yes,
like
yep.
the Brown Fund and things of that sort. There's so many other HBI, there's so many, you know, institutions that Boston has and you know, various support that's available financially
mm-hmm.
that a homeowner, your average homeowner, may not even know about. So.
Good.
You know, I think if Anne was here, I think it's fair to say, I can speak for her, you know, as a representative of Historic New England, she would say that her role on the commission is to reach out to people in the neighborhood and make them feel like we're working with them.
Yes.
That
yeah.
we're not a fearful place, we're not
yes.
working against them. And I think, Joe, maybe a statement about that from you,
mm-hmm.
that is our purpose.
Yep.
We're not trying to, we're trying to make it as much as possible a collaborative process.
Partnership, sure.
And
yes.
I think she would, if she were here, she would say that.
Yep.
And furthermore, and aligned with that, the historic preservation generally, and our mission in particular, is to preserve and protect the value that we already have in our urban context and the built environment, and if possible, to enhance that. So everyone really benefits from this effort to make our historic district generally better, and anytime something happens, we want to move forward and have things be a little better,
right.
if we possibly can.
Right, exactly.
And prevent any retrograde things of someone slapping tin siding on the building or putting a crazy structure up or painting it red or whatever, they might do. Let me just ask again regarding the new construction.
Mm-hmm.
I remember with the 212 project, it was a big issue on my mind for quite a few months. So when I read through this, I wonder, so it says, this is what we expect you to do. We expect you to relate to the size and scale. Now, if the developer decides to not do that by putting in a building that's outside of code that
mm-hmm.
is bigger, taller, whatever, like that, then they have to go and get variances to do that. So is the assumption throughout, and maybe it's just in different places, where if a builder does not conform to this guideline,
mm-hmm.
then the assumption is that they will seek a variance through a different channel? Or is it more like we'll have a series of iterations, we'll talk about it and try to come back again, or
right.
What do you think?
The way we operate now is a project has to be compliant with zoning before the commission will review it.
Right, like with 212, they would have come to us last.
Yes.
They never did come with the, you know, that last iteration, mm-hmm. because the project got jammed.
Mm-hmm.
There was a suit, so there's still some.
Right.
There. But okay, so we come after zoning, so the issue of zoning compliance is no longer on the table.
Right.
Okay. So if a building is not similar in height, size, and shape to the ones adjacent, it already would have addressed that. So it's okay to say that because we're going to not hold you to that because you've already got the exemption. Is that how it works?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, I think this commission can say no to something even if it gets, you know, if you get approved to do a 120-story building and you're surrounded by five-story buildings, I think mm-hmm. this commission, I mean, it'll probably be challenged, but I think this commission has the power to do that.
Right, so the commission could point to this and say, our guidelines say X, and your building is non-compliant with that.
Yes.
And so, yeah. And we're not happy.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then,
yes.
the process comes mm-hmm. from that.
Yes.
And I, again, an example of that might be the Herbaluce property, where, mm-hmm. you know, it's very respectful of the historic context, except for the fact that it has this surprisingly tall, you know, extension, which is the new part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the historic part and the new part, and the new part is not compliant. But then they'll go to zoning, they'll get that,
and then
they'll get their variance probably, mm-hmm. and then they'll come here, and we'll say, what exactly? We'd say, well, it's not compliant here, but we're glad that you fixed the cornices and changed the entrance and changed the windows. There are a lot of things that they're going
right.
to
and
do.
Again, to yeah. that. And again, they're guidelines, so the commission can deviate from those.
Mm-hmm.
So in certain circumstances, you can say, well, the commission's going to approve this because you're restoring the first floor,
yeah.
you can't see it from the
and
ground level.
You are creating precedent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I just put one more
yeah,
thing in?
Sure.
Like this says, new construction shall, just like the other ones said,
mm-hmm.
must. Those don't sound like guidelines. Those sound like rules.
Well, I know yeah. on the Landmarks Commission, right, on the study reports that we do deviate between
there's a
should
yeah.
and shall.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean,
and yeah.
We never
yeah.
use the word must.
Right. Well, that's why where did that come from?
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, that's, we want you to point
those
things out.
Window sash has the word must.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend that it say should.
Should.
Yep, okay.
New construction has the word shall. I would recommend that it say should.
Should's not as strong, so
yep.
we do make a distinction when we really want to drive it home that we'll say shall.
Well, this it keeps circling around to this issue of how much enforcement is there. How rigid are these guidelines? What about the enforcement? What about things that are non-compliant?
Mm.
You know, it's all around
right.
that
you're also
area.
Writing it for future commissioners, too, to help them understand the spirit of how it was
mm-hmm.
written and what the intent was. So it will be their ultimate individual commission decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And as a practical matter, if we decided something and the property applicant didn't like our decision, then they would seek to overturn it. That's how it works, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a legal process? Does
yes.
They sue us? Or?
No,
well, they go
city.
To Superior Court
yeah.
to appeal the decision.
Appeal the administrative hearing that we mm-hmm. held.
Okay. So.
So, and what a court would be looking at, they'd be looking at the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be looking at.
And what is that process called? It's.
Appealing
an appeal.
Mm-hmm.
An
appealing the decision
of
the
administrative
decision.
Historic commission.
I see.
Decision.
Does that happen a lot?
It does, but they usually get settled before.
Before. So, for example, the whole discussion about the Citgo sign, for example, that is that the.
Well, that's a designation,
that's different.
Different. So we're talking about you know, if someone is not allowed to construct an addition to a building. Or one of the last
yeah.
ones we had was a penthouse addition in the back bay. A neighbor appealed the decision because it was going to block the sunlight into their skylight.
Uh-huh.
And after that project being held up in court, the abutter and the developer came to a happy medium where
there.
It was pulled back.
Yeah, it reminds me of my own situation with the building next door.
But it can, I mean, they can carry on for years.
Right, and make things miserable for everyone, right?
Yeah, and expensive.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any openings on the Bay Village Commission?
Yes.
Yes.
So will that be brought up?
Excellent point.
Yes.
I really think this is your advocacy now for getting somebody at the table, you know, that represents the...
Yeah, we have the...
Represents the neighborhood.
The BSA and the Real Estate Board too.
Yeah, so I would make mention of it or encourage them, but then also be ready to, I don't know, write down their names and phone numbers.
Right, yes.
Is the BSA representative, Joe?
Yes.
Yes.
Aren't we?
You're BLC. So, but there is a BSA seat here.
We're both BLC. We're not BLC.
We're both BLC.
But are we on BLC, aren't we BSA?
But you weren't nominated by BSA. You're nominated by BLC.
I see.
So if you know anybody.
BSA.
Boston Society of Arts.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry.
Yes, that's right.
I had it in my head. I was picturing the school.
Yeah, in the same way that Anne comes to us through historic New England.
Yeah, and I'm a neighborhood.
But you can have residents.
And I'm a neighborhood, but I'm still a learner.
Yeah, it would be great to have...
You don't have a cap, right? I mean, you can have more residents being on the commission.
Well, we're limited to the nominating organizations. So we have, well, I think it's two members and one alternate from the neighborhood association.
Steve is an alternate. We have two alternates and we have a member. I think we only have one member allowed.
One member.
Yeah, there's only one, and there's only one member from historic New England. I think it's one from Boston Society of Architects and one from the real estate board.
The real estate board, like the board would appoint someone or confirm someone.
Nominee.
Because we've got, does that mean someone who's like a broker who's a member of the real estate community?
Yeah, the Greater Boston Realty Board.
Because we have a couple of brokers in Bay Village.
We do.
It'd be great to have an architect.
Certainly know our addresses.
Yeah, we could really stand an with any architects, please.
Yeah.
Please.
You know, just a question about that. I get it that there are more places available, but there are neighborhood commissions that have far fewer people than we have in this group.
And struggle to make...
Yeah, the South End.
And should we be advocating for more, you know, it's sadly true. Fort Point Channel is constantly...
And that is such a big area.
It's a big one and an important one, yeah.
God knows it's changing a lot.
So, not to detract from the need for this group, but...
I see what you're saying.
I mean, we're pretty well served on this group.
You think so, yeah.
Well, Joe, you...
Yeah, we only have two vacancies, so...
But since there's an opening, I would make mention of it. I would just keep having it home.
Yep. Good idea.
You know, as you make it someone that comes forward, could be a great addition.
Well, does that person have to either be a BSA person or a real estate person?
Yes.
Yeah.
They have to fit that profile.
Yeah, ultimately, they'll have to be nominated by that.
Nominated, but I mean, that's more of a procedural thing.
Yeah.
Let's get the person.
Right, I mean, you know, we go over the BSA or say, here's this person. Right.
Figure out that a long time ago.
Yeah.
I wonder if we can get from the BSA a listing of BSA members who live in Boston.
I believe Roseanne has a list, but we can certainly check.
Of those people, because you and I could go through them and probably know who might be out there would be good. And maybe make some recommendations for other
neighborhoods
that
have fewer people.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea.
Is there such a thing, Joe? Is there a listing?
I haven't seen a recent one, but yes.
Is it sorted that we could see who lives in Boston?
I think I've seen that, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. So I'd be happy to look at that.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So this person who would come from the BSA doesn't have to have a special familiarity with Bay Village.
No.
No. Do they have to live in Boston?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's the kicker.
That's the one.
Resident
of Boston.
And the real estate board person, also resident of Boston.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's your legal residence.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be a resident of Bay Village.
No.
No.
But we do have a couple of real estate people who very likely are members of these boards. Paul Miller and Grant Simpson are all both within 50 feet of my door, and they're professional real estate people.
This is just for nomination too, so there's lots of ways to make it happen. I think it's identifying someone who's interested and wants to spend their time.
And finding, yeah, how we can get them on.
Part of the reason I was...
Work through the paperwork.
Yes.
Part of the reason I'm pursuing this is because if you go to a general meeting and you say we need, you know, new people on the, additional people on this board, most of the people in the room will not be qualified.
That's right.
Because they don't fit these two groups.
That's right.
So it's worth making the statement, but it's not like people are just gonna, you can raise your hand and say, oh yeah, I'll do that, you know, because they...
But they may know someone.
Okay.
I'd put it out there.
Oh, you know.
It takes so long to fill a position anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the process, it took, it was like 2 years before I got to walk.
Well, that's the thing, once we have a nomination, it's out of our hands, how long it takes to get.
Right.
What's the next step from a regulatory standpoint?
So we have the two different branches. We have the expanding the scope of protection. That'll have to go through the city council, but then updating the regulatory standards we can vote on as a commission.
Oh.
But, you know, before we do that...
Soon or not soon?
After
well,
the
we're going to do that, and then I'm going to BLC on the 25th of September to present on the work we're doing here, and then to start the peer review.
Excellent.
So, you know, I think once we have feedback from the Neighborhood Association and BLC, then, you know, hopefully by the end of this year or beginning of next year, we'll be in good shape.
So could there be conceivably a bifurcated thing where we were operating under mostly the new standards, except because we were waiting on scope of protection for the city council?
Yes.
So we could be operating with this, but not with the same scope. January, possibly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
Okay. All right.
Wow. That's a lot of work done.
Any other comments or thoughts, everybody?
And we'll still have a chance to edit this.
Oh, so we don't have a meeting of our regularly scheduled hearing this month. So we're going to then wait to hear from you about how things are going with this.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
And I can send you an email update.
Yeah.
Right. And we'll see you at the BVNA meeting on the 10th.
Yes. Yep.
I know Anne's going. I'm going.
7 o'clock.
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
And that's South Cove?
Yes.
Yes.
It's opposite the Park Square Park.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll cross a little bit of fireway from 212, the proposed 212 Street.
Okay.
Typically, how many people go to those?
I haven't been
20.
In years.
That's not too bad.
Facing
an angry pitchfork mob.
Oh, I wouldn't expect that at all. It's a very civilized process. Everyone is civic-minded. There's never any, you know, real controversy. And within the meetings, it's when the BVNA people interface with other people in the neighborhood over particular issues like 212 Stewart, you know, then there can be sort of the different factions.
Well, I got beaten up over the Coconut Grove Memorial, if you recall.
Oh, yeah. You were in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
At least more things than I needed to be.
All right. So can I have a motion to adjourn?
I move.
All right.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.